Mijn naam is Casper van Koppenhagen, revalidatiearts van beroep. De handbike battle is niet in woorden te vatten, daar moet je bij geweest zijn, zei ik altijd. Laat dat nou net zijn wat ik met het maken van deze podcast probeer te doen. De magie van de handbike battle gevangen in de bijzondere verhalen van een aantal deelnemers die deze extreme uitdaging aangaan. U luistert naar de 5e aflevering van Bergen Verzetten, de podcast over de handbike battle 2022. Nog voordat ik naar Oostenrijk vertrok, werd mij al over een specifieke deelnemer verteld. Steffen. Ik ging toch die podcast opnemen, dan moest ik sowieso Steffen spreken.
Ben je spannend?
Tuurlijk vind ik het spannend. Jij niet dan?
Voor mij, echt spannend.
Ja toch? Ja. We zitten allemaal. Hey, maar die hebben we nodig, die adrenaline.
Ja, precies.
Ja toch?
Ja, ja. Toch.
Hey, we gaan het doen, hè?
Ja, doei.
Hoe makkelijk deze Steffen ook een praatje maakt, hij lijkt me een beetje een Einzelganger. Ik zie hem op een bank zitten in de foyer. Oortjes in. Hij observeert de ruimte waar hij zich in begeeft en gaat zijn eigen gang. Deze indruk van mij is niet verkeerd. Steffen heeft in zijn leven namelijk veel op zichzelf moeten rekenen. Tot een aantal jaar geleden heeft hij moeten overleven. Voor zichzelf moeten zorgen om überhaupt in leven te blijven. Dat is de realiteit wanneer je een dwarslezing krijgt in een land waar de zorg en de revalidatiezorg ontoereikend zijn. Hij is geboren in Trinidad en Tobago en woont nu in Haarlem. Ik ben benieuwd. Wat heeft Steffen meegemaakt en hoe is hij hier in godsnaam in Oostenrijk terechtgekomen?
Mijn naam is ik ben Steffen. Ik kom uit Trinidad en Tobago. Ik ben 31 jaar. Ik woon in Nederland 4 jaar. En
Well, then your Dutch is excellent. So, but if you want to switch to English, it's okay.
What else do I say about myself? Yeah, ik heb five zussen.
Yeah.
And 6 broer.
Zes broer?
Yeah.
So 11.
Yes. Het is een groot family. Yeah. Maar niet allemaal wonen in hetzelfde huis. So it was, you know, separated.
Yeah. Back in Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what else do I say?
For people who don't know Trinidad and Tobago, where is it on Earth?
It is located in, not Central America, South America, flat by Venezuela.
Yeah. Caribbean.
It's in the Caribbean. Nice warm weather. So if you ever need a vacation, go to Trinidad. You would love it.
Hey, and now, of course, you have to tell the story about how you get stuck here in Austria, 2 days away from the handbike battle, starting for an Amsterdam team.
Yeah.
How did you get stuck in the Netherlands? So tell us something about that.
Well, so from 2009, I suffered a spinal cord injury,
yes,
which was a neurofibromatosis tumor.
Neurofibromatosis.
Yes.
Neurofibromatosis.
Yes. Usually people who have neurofibromatosis, they have a bunch of moles or growths on the outer layer of
the
skin. Yes. But in my case, it's in reverse. It's inside. The tumors grew under the nerves, under the skin, and that is what caused me to wake up one morning and stop walk just like that.
From one day at the other day?
Yes. So one day I woke up and the next day I was not walking.
How was your life at that moment? You were studying or going
I was
to school?
Just finishing secondary school.
How old were you?
I was 17. Yes, yeah. 17. No, 18.
18.
Because I just turned 18 when this happened, when the whole medical situation, you know, went downhill. I just woke up and couldn't get up. I just got up and fall back down. And then eventually I saw specialists.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sent me for an MRI. And at that time, they weren't very sure. And I have a sister that lives in the United States. So I sent her my file. Uh-huh. And then the doctors were like, oh, yeah, this is
She showed it to a doctor in the States.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then this is where they come to the conclusion. It was a blood clot on the spine. But it turns out it wasn't a blood clot. It was the tumor. So I had like a lumpectomy in the spinal cord. So
they took away the tumor and give space to the spinal cord again.
Yes.
In the hope
that it would, you know, recover.
Yeah.
But I took 2 years before I actually had the surgery done because the doctors were a bit unsure. So I was like, okay, if they are not sure and I'm not a medical person.
It took you 2 years?
Yes, before I came to do the operation.
Okay.
Because they weren't very sure. Yeah. And And in my case, I am dependent on the doctor to give me that security.
And during that 2 years, you stopped walking?
Yes, I was not walking completely.
And your bladder and bowel?
Everything just shut down. So I can't
sexuality,
be,
everything?
I have to talk about this?
No.
But no, I could talk because, you know, it took a while for me to come to this place.
Yeah.
But
no.
Of course, I lose my ability to control my bladder, my bowels, the sensory in my legs. Yeah. Everything was...
It was completely... gone, or
yes,
was it
was incomplete. Completely gone.
Completely gone.
Okay. And but I always lived with the mindset of, you know, I would walk again because I didn't understand the anatomy or the dynamics of my spinal cord injury.
Yeah.
So I've always maintained that positive mind.
Yes.
I found myself not standing and peeing, but now I have to sit and wear a diaper.
Yeah.
Gosh, that was such a... Yeah. I didn't understand, but it is what it is, you know?
What about the resources in Trinidad and Tobago for people who are disabled? Did you have a wheelchair?
I had a wheelchair, but as Eric would say, which is my ergotherapist now, it was a wheelchair from World War II.
World War II wheelchair.
Yes, those are the chairs that the Germans made. I didn't know better. I just think it was a chair. It was able to allow me to get around and whatever the case is.
And during these 2 years, you said, okay, that's part of the deal, and they have to figure out what it is,
yes,
and what they're going to do.
Yes. So by 18, 19, I think, this is where my spirituality plays part in it, because it's connected to why I'm in the Netherlands. I was sleeping and I had this vision, that experience, an encounter with God. And God said to me, he said, Stefan, I'm going to take you to Holland. I was like, Holland? The only thing I knew of Holland was there was a song that Donnie McLaughlin, which is an American guy, he's a Christian singer.
Yeah.
And he sang a song called... God in a day that a bongo do, so my late a hook on me, grab me low. It's kind of like Serenemies with some Dutch inside of it. So I only knew of the Dutch when he sang that song. Otherwise, I knew nothing about Holland. So in the vision, the Lord said, Stefan, I'm going to take you to Holland. I say, Holland? I say, but Lord, those people speak Dutch. I don't speak Dutch. He said, watch and you will see. I will take you to Holland. I said, but what is the reason for going to Holland? What am I going to do there? You know? And he said, watch and you will see, I'm going to use you in that country. And I'm like, okay. So I woke up the next morning and I'm telling my brother and my sister, I am going to Holland. So then we moving on, had the operation, forget about that vision, trying to figure my way out. What do I do next? So my game plan was, I was like, you know what? I need to change my mindset. I need to begin to develop mentally, emotionally, psychologically. I didn't have the system to provide that for me. No. I just had myself and the internet. Thank God for the internet because, I mean, it's why I experience most of the thing that I experience. So from there, I had to really begin to figure it out.
You went to educate yourself.
Yes, I started reading and learning and discovering, creating resources of how do I get this, how do I get that.
Yeah.
And
in Trinidad.
In Trinidad, Trinidad, yes. Okay. So and then 1 year passed. One of my friends called me and he was like, Stefan, would you consider going to... the Netherlands. I was like, no, why would I want to go to that country? I don't even know who are these people. But then my friend was like, no, Stefan, you should consider going to the Netherlands. And when you go to the Netherlands, you will get help. He said, your health isn't going very good enough. Sooner or later, at that time, back in 2018, I've already developed osteomyelitis.
Yeah.
I've developed MRSA. I've developed scoliosis, so my body was not very straight. I had two open wounds, one on my hip, on the left, one on my left, one on my right. And then I had this open wound on my buttocks itself. My God.
So you had a lot of problems.
Oh,
a lot of
yes.
Secondary.
Yes. So all those conditions. Things were just building up.
Deze secundaire complicaties waar Stefan over vertelt... doorlichtplekken, ontstekingen aan het bot, scheefgroei van de wervelkolom en ga zo maar door, die zijn levensgevaarlijk. en het gevolg van slechte revalidatiezorg.
And I really wasn't paying it attention because every day I would clean it with sterilized water. I would sterilize everything with my gloves and I would just take care of it. Yeah. But then my friend was discussing this idea of moving to the Netherlands and getting help. I said, well, you must be crazy. I can't do that one. But then when I came off the phone, the voice of the Holy Spirit says, you remember I told you you're going to Holland? I was like, oh my gosh, yes. You know what? I'm going to Holland. Uh-huh. So I called my friend back and I was like, dude, you're right. I need to go to Holland. So May 2018, I arrived in the Netherlands. Ugh, what a journey. So I met a girl who assisted me from coming off the plane in Amsterdam. So she said to me, she's like, who are you here with? I said, myself. She said, how much money you have? I said, like, I think 200 euros, 250 euros. She said, 250 euros in the Netherlands by yourself. No, she said, well, God must be with you because it is not possible to come through that gates, especially from an international flight and come through the gates in the Netherlands. I've been working in the airport and I've seen people go back because they don't have money. And so I called my friend. I was like, this is the situation. I made a mistake. And then he was like, you know what? Find a police officer and tell them what you're doing. They would help you from there. I said, are you sure? He said, yes. I was like, okay, no problem. And then I did that.
You went to the police?
Yes. And I talked to the police. I was like, okay, sure. They took my passport and they scanned it. So the police did that. And they were like, okay, we're going to get you a taxi. And you're going to go to a place called Terapel. Boy, oh boy, I ended up in Terapel. It was a compound with so much people and people from all walks of life. Long story short, asylum procedure was completed.
Yeah.
I got a positive and that's where my journey began. So they took me and they threw me into, I would call it a punishment camp.
Oh.
Because they said I was rude and I was bad. So now I ended up in this punishment camp.
They had to educate you? Or what was the reason that they put you in the punishment camp?
They said I was angry and I was aggressive. But when I went to that camp, I was a saint compared to the aggression what I saw. Because people who were there, everybody who were there were going back to their country except me. And then I had this mentor. You have to put this in the story because she is very instrumental in this story. Mentor said to me, she's
mentor,
like, yeah, my mentor, Mariana. She said, Stefan, where are you from? I said, Trinidad. She said, I like you. You're very direct. She said, you're too direct for the Dutch. She said, if you're going to survive in the Netherlands, this is what you need to do. You have to begin to change the way you speak and the way you carry about yourself. She said, you can't talk and point your hands in people's face. She said, that's rude. I said, but why? She said, because it's rude, Stefan. We Dutch people don't like it. I said, well, then you would have a serious... So I'm like this. I said, well, then you would have a serious problem. She said, oh, no, not me, because I like you. I find you fascinating.
Yeah.
She said, but if you're going to get the Dutch people to help you, you have to tone it down. Back to 2019 now, I ended up in... I went and I saw this doctor. He is a specialist. I will never forget him. He's a Jewish doctor. He doesn't speak Dutch, eh?
Oh.
But he's a doctor in the Netherlands because he's good at what he does, eh? So he said to me, he said, where are you from? I said, Trinidad. He said, why are you so skinny? I said, because who wants to be fat in a wheelchair? That makes any sense. He said, yeah, you're right, but you're not in that country anymore. I said, which country? He said, Trinidad, you know. You're in the Netherlands. We will take very good care of you. Before I operate on you, you need to gain some weight. You're too skinny. I said, no, that won't be possible. He said, well, then I won't operate on you.
Oh.
So now, when he did that, I would now have to go back to Riyadh because he said to me, you need to find a rehabilitation center who will take you. So I contacted Riyadh and they agreed to take me.
Right.
And I now was in a room with... And I'm using the word a wealth of doctors because I've never seen so much specialists in one room to help one person in my life. We had the spinal cord specialist. We had the wound specialist. We had the psychologist, the agrotherapist, the physiotherapist, the breathing specialist. The list goes on.
Yeah, list goes on. And you saw them At that very moment.
At that very moment. Everyone take turns coming in, examining. And I think from there, everything started to change.
Yeah.
And then one day, I met Eric. We shook hands and immediately he was like, how did you survive being in a wheelchair? Because, you know, I can't understand. Tell me, in all my years of expertise, I can't understand. And then I begin to explain to him, you know, about, you know, Googling stuff, about doing transfers, about taking care of my wounds and everything for myself. And, you know, he looked at me and he was flabbergasted. He was dumbfounded. He just couldn't understand. Because, of course, you guys come from a world where you have all the resources.
We have the resources, yeah.
But then he said, he's like, don't worry. You're in the Netherlands now. We will take very good care of you. I had problems with the nurses because they couldn't understand why I never wanted help.
Uh-huh.
You know, every time they were like, oh, do you need something? Do you need this? Can we help you? Whatever, whatever. The nurses, they complained on me. There was a Nigerian lady. She's a nurse. Her name is Victoria. Beautiful woman. She said to me, I am your mother today. She said, listen, the nurse are complaining on you because you are not cooperating with the nurses. Now, you know I am not Dutch, so I will tell you like it is. You need to stop your nonsense today. When the nurse come to help you, let them help you. It is our job to help you. Whether you like it or not, we are getting paid to help you as long as you are here. I may not be Dr. Achterberg, but I am Victoria.
Yeah.
And you will do what I say and listen to the nurses as of this moment now. And when she spoke to me, you know, it revolutionized my mindset as to these people are here to help me. They're not against me. They are for me. So that conversation we had, I will never forget. Because sometimes I pass by Rihanna and I always ask for her. Because she was instrumental in me integrating.
She was your guide.
Exactly. Integrating in a world that I was completely foreign to. So the way she spoke to me, it's what I needed at that point in time. And at that very moment, I gave up control and I just began to, you know, see myself evolve. And this is where Eric came in and he said to me, by the way, I have something for you to do. I was like, what is that? He said, I would like for you to join the handbike competition. I was like, what is that? He said, yeah, you're going to climb a mountain. I was like, oh, hells nah. I'm not climbing a mountain. That's not for me. That's for you Dutch people. That's not for me. He said, no, Stefan, it's going to change your life. I said, but my life has already changed. How much change I can possibly want?
Yeah.
But he was determined, eh? He said, think about it. He said, first of all, I am responsible for a wheelchair for you. So we're going to get you a good wheelchair.
Yeah.
He said, we have to get you a cushion that supports your skin, that makes sure you don't ever get wounds. He said, we'll get you a handbag. I said, but I want an electric chair. He said, no, that's for old people. You're young, you're strong, you're healthy. We have to keep you active. But I didn't understand what he was talking about because, you know, this seems so strange, eh?
Yeah.
But the man was determined. I always say, the man with the plan. You know, he's a Christian as well, eh? And he believes in God. So he was like, do you believe in God? I was like, yes. He was like, me too. He's like, oh, you're going to make my life so easy because I feel as though our spirituality is definitely going to intertwine. And this is what's going to give us the motivation and the drive. And one of the lessons that Eric focuses on for me is that he's not so much more as we are going to win. He said it's not about winning, but it's about enduring. He said because if you could master the art of tempo, if you could master the art of controlling your breathing, he said you would have no problem making it on that mountain. But if you can't, you will struggle, Stefan. And here I am. I'm in Austria.
Yeah.
I was so fast. I felt like I was in a fairy tale movie when I came to Austria.
But you have you ever seen such mountains before?
I mean, we have mountains in Trinidad,
yeah.
eh? But not like this.
No.
These mountains are not real. And I still say it's not real because I'm waiting for the moment when it all comes collapsing. Because it just can't be real. But I mean, it is.
It is. So you saw the gletscher
yesterday. Oh, I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Because when we go to Thursday, and you're almost there.
I am.
Tell me something about this vision you have when the finish is in your sight.
What I see as I embark on that journey, and I don't mean to sound like a sentimentalist, I am definitely going to see each stage and phase of my life climbing that mountain. I'm going to see when I just entered in the wheelchair. I'm going to see when I discovered it's a tumor. I'm going to see the days when I was home in Trinidad and I didn't feel like life had any meaning to live. I didn't feel purpose driven. I'm going to see arriving to the Netherlands, meeting all different types of people with all different types of story. I'm going to see that very moment when I met Eric and what he said. So as I cycle for that next 20 kilometers, I'm going to have that. I'm very sure I'm going to have that flashback of my life and my journey here in the Netherlands and what is to come in the future, because I strongly believe this is the beginning of the rest of my life. To sum up my story, I call it the metamorphosis, because I would never think in my wildest dreams I would be here doing what I am doing and making this a reality. So, yeah.
What have you achieved when you finish?
I said to Eric, I know what it's like to be independent my entire life, especially in this situation.
Since you were 17.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for me, the goal is to now move from being to move from being independent to being interdependent. Because if we look at these mountains, and I want to use this for as an example, we look at the mountains and the snow that is on it. They both rely on each other for the seasons to manifest in its full glory. It really, really, you know, brings me to that place as to we need each other. You know, we need support systems. And as much as we think we're an island, we're definitely not. Because that mountain yesterday taught me a lot, eh? We're definitely not an island. So, yeah.
Yeah. Stefan, thank you very much for this. Haven't found your route yet. You think you are on the perfect track?
Na afloop van ons gesprek denk ik aan al die artsen en verpleegkundigen die Stefan op zijn reis is tegengekomen. Dat zijn onder andere mijn collega's. Ik zie hun gezichten zo voor me. Stefan had ze nodig. In mijn leven zat het vol gidsen. Ik heb ze echt niet altijd gezien of willen zien. Eentje heb ik er zeker gezien. Dat was Laura. Daar ben ik maar meteen mee getrouwd. Maar zij die mij gegidst hebben in moeilijke tijden ben ik eeuwig dankbaar. Waaronder een aantal collega's, zoals hier in Oostenrijk. Zoveel is zeker. Ik ga beneden maar weer even een praatje met ze maken. Er is een pubquiz gaande en er zijn sportvragen. Kijk, en daar hebben ze mij dan weer bij nodig.
Is iedereen aanwezig die mee gaat oefenen? Zijn jullie allemaal compleet? Alle teams? Ja? Willen jullie een leuke teamnaam bedenken en boven alle kaartjes?
Dit was aflevering 5 van Bergen Verzetten. De podcast over de Handbike Battle 2022. Wil je weten hoe Stefans grote avontuur afloopt? Luister dan snel verder. Bergen Verzetten is gemaakt door ons, Casper van Koppenhagen en podcastmaker Femke Bosma. Deze podcast is mede tot stand gekomen door de stichting Erasmus MC Foundation en Revalidatie Nederland. Erasmus Foundation is het officiële steunfonds van het Erasmus MC. Deze stichting heeft tot doel om concrete projecten in het Erasmus MC mogelijk te maken. Meestal gaat het om wetenschappelijk onderzoek, maar ook de aanschaf van apparatuur en projecten ten behoeve van patiëntenzorg komen in aanmerking. Kijk voor meer informatie op erasmusfoundation.nl. Revalidatie Nederland is de medisch-specialistische brancheorganisatie. Kijk voor alle verhalen uit de revalidatiesector op revalidatiemagazine.nl. Dankjewel voor het luisteren.